Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. If you would, let us stand together. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 and 2. Title of our lesson today is Hide and Seek. Hide and Seek. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here on this Sunday morning. Lord, we thank you that you are with us, for you say where two or three are gathered together in your name, you will be in the midst. Lord, we pray that the Spirit would move today, that hearts could be touched, even souls changed. Lord, we pray that the enemy will be kept at bay, and that, Lord, your honor, name will be honored and glorified. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Tom Westwood writes, in verse 2, Peter launches forth upon a vast expanse of divine truth, almost bewildering to the simple Christian. He begins with the very foundation of all things, reaching back into eternity itself, as he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Then the purpose of our lives is seen through the sanctification of the Spirit, with the final thought unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Christian birth is described here, and the Trinity is clearly implied. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. This miracle of the new birth all began with God. Would you please take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1. We were elect, chosen by the Father. When it comes to the door of salvation, on the outside of the door, it says, whosoever will may come. And on the inside of the door, we find that we are chosen from the foundations of the world. But it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This election is not based on anything that we have done or will do, but based wholly on his grace and on his love. We cannot explain it, but we can rejoice in it. If you would, the book of Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, and I'll have you be turning to a number of scriptures early. Later on, I'll just be reading them for you. But some of these verses, I think, are great to have in our Bibles and in our minds. Romans chapter 11, beginning at verse 33. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. to whom be glory forever. Amen. Keep your place in Romans. We will be going to chapter 8 in just a moment. But in his foreknowledge, we have his forethought. In his forethought, we know all, or he knew all about our wretched, sinful condition. Nevertheless, he chose us. Mere humans. He did not die for the fallen angels. The third of the angels that followed Lucifer will spend all eternity in hell. But he did die for fallen man. He did love us and care for us. If you would, the book of Romans now, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we'll begin reading with the very familiar 28th verse. And we'll read down through verse 34. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good. Notice, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, what's that? Who can be against us? May I say, sometimes we may feel like we're losing in this spiritual battle, but we are not. We know the last chapter. Verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He makes intercession for us. Don't go praying to any saints. Don't go praying to Mary. Don't go praying to angels. We pray to the Lord, and Jesus makes intercession for us. It is with this thought that we contemplate John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Jesus died for us, and for those that reject him, they will suffer the wrath of God for all eternity. We don't say that with any pride. We should be humbled by the fact that we can be saved. Sanctification of the Spirit. We are set apart. Separation from the penalty of sin. Separation from the power of sin, and future separation from the presence of sin. Can you imagine what it is going to be like not to have bad thoughts? I will no longer despise Brussels sprouts. I will no longer despise lima beans and peas. I will not have those thoughts anymore. We will no longer be angry with the driver in front of us who is texting and sitting there at the stoplight as if they own the roads. Oh, there'll be no texting in heaven? Cindy says so. But let me say this. Can you imagine what it'd be like not to have a nasty thought about Pastor Paul? Yeah. You say, how do you know? I just know. The Bible tells us, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Again, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. We find that there is victory in Jesus. And we find this is because of the blood of Christ. His blood provides our salvation. Without the shedding of blood is no remission, Hebrews 9:22. In Genesis, we find that there was one lamb for one man. In Exodus, we find that there was one lamb for a family. In the law, there was one lamb for the nation. But in Jesus Christ, we find that there was one lamb for the world. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. His blood purchased our redemption. His blood paid to get us out of the slave camp of sin. The book of Acts 20, verse 28 says, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Romans 5, 8, and 9. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. How are we saved? Yes, by faith, but because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We find there in verse 2 of 1 Peter 1, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. The grace of God always comes before the peace of God. If we want to have any peace in this world, we must have the grace of God in our lives. Take your Bibles, if you will, now quickly to Genesis chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, hide and seek. You may have played it as a game as a child. You may have played it with your children. It's played around the world. It may be called different things or it may have different rules, but there is hide and seek. There is the one that is hiding or those who are hiding, and there is the one that is looking. Have you ever noticed that the one that is looking always is changing the rules? Yes. But we remember playing it, beginning in verse 1, Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Isn't that what that which caused the downfall of Lucifer? Because he wanted to be greater than God? Are we not told today that we are gods and that everyone should do what they want to do? Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. Now she added those words that you should not touch. So when she took it and nothing happened, she goes, oh, this is all right. See, when you misquote the scriptures, you're going to get into trouble. And it says, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, what? Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They hid. Usually there's plenty of laughter and fun when you play hide and seek with your kids. They think it's a big deal if they can hide someplace where you can't find them, but normally all you have to do is stand still and what? Listen. See, that's one thing children haven't learned quite yet, is that not only can you see with your eyes, but with your ears, you can tell where someone is. And so you listen and you hear them giggling, and you go over and you find them, and they think it's hilarious. And then you hide. And because you're smarter than they are, you hide in a better place, right? Yes. And then they call something like Ollie Ollie All In Free or something along that line, and you jump out and they giggle because of that. And then where do they hide? The place you just hid. Yes, the game is great. And it goes on generation after generation. You know, one recently compared man's relationship to God to a cruel game of hide and seek, where God supposedly hides slightly out of reach and demands to be found. Now, this person is saying that God is unattainable because he's hiding, and you've got to find him because man supposedly is it, and he's seeking this ever elusive God, but never able to find him, let alone please him. A man told me the other day that his wife was mad and vindictive against God, that she couldn't find him. Well, let me say this. In many ways, there is a game of hide and seek in which man and God are involved. But it's man who is hiding. It is man who says, God, I don't want you to know what I'm doing. I'm going to hide myself. But can you hide yourself from God? God knew where Adam and Eve were, and he knows where we are. If you would, the book of Psalms 139, Psalms, and the 139th Psalm. We'll read a few verses, beginning at verse 7. Psalm 139, verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. In God's eye, it is no game. It is a matter of life and death. And he spared no cost in seeking to restore the relationship between him and the ones that have been created. Point number one, God's revelation. God is not hiding. Clarence Johnson writes, God is seeking meaningful relationships with men and women and delights in revealing himself to them, which he does through general and special revelation. General revelation is the witness of the created world and the physical universe. Now, I don't know how many of you go on to Facebook and look at these things, but I occasionally go on. When Donna got her phone a number of years ago, they gave her a tablet. And once in a while I'll play a game on the tablet and I will go to see what can be found online. And one of her cousins puts things on Facebook on a regular basis, and they're from the universe. Camera pictures from the Hubble, or from other things that take pictures. And some of the pictures of our universe are amazing. And I know the evolutionists would say, it all just happened. Well, it all just happened because God created it. And it's general a revelation. He has made the universe and he made you. Don't you find the ear amazing? Those little bones that are inside your ear, what is there? The hammer and the stirrup? And what's that third one? Anvil? Is that what it is? Is that right, anvil? Since none of you are saying no, it's an anvil. And how about your eyes? Aren't your eyes amazing? Especially when they used to work? And how about your stomach? Have you ever pondered the fact that what goes in your stomach gets, well, it gets it, okay? But the stomach contains it? Boy, I tell you what, the body is amazing. All but it just happened. No. God created us. General revelation. But then he also is going to give us the Word of God. But in the general revelation, that of the universe, Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, also that they are without excuse. Paul, writing to those at Rome, says, they're without excuse. There is God's presence throughout the universe. But then God provided special revelation. He provided the Word of God, a special book. And though today society wants to rid itself of it, it still goes on. And it's still the book that we should read, and it should be part of our lives. The Bible tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The book of Proverbs tells us that we should trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Knowing the facts about God is not the same as knowing God. A lot of people know about God, but do you know him? Number two, there's man's rejection. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The world today ignores God. They ignore the truth. They ignore what is necessary. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They don't want anything to do with God, because they think God's a killjoy. They think God is going to keep them from having fun. And yet, may I say this, that it's only when we have the Lord in our life that we'll have true peace and true comfort and true direction. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. we find that there is God's warning. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. He warns us. Matthew 7, if you would there, turn there quickly. Matthew 7, we'll read verses 13 and 14. I'm running out of time, but I'm on the last page of my notes. Is that a good thing? Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few be that find it. There's the warning. The Lord warns that man will always want to customize the truth to his liking. Change the words of the Word of God. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We know that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and that as he built the ark, and as it took 120 years to build that ark, and it was a mammoth accomplishment. And he preached of a coming destruction, and they repented not. The other day I was watching a video, and Ken Ham was saying that the ark was far too big for Noah and his family. If you go and you visit the ark there in Kentucky, at the ark there that has been built, and you go up into the third floor, you realize very quickly that in the living areas for Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, they had far more room than they needed. Well, why was the ark so big? There was the hope that others would come also. There was the hope that others would say, yes, I need to come in. The door was opened until the Lord shut the door. Man's choice. Joshua would tell the people, now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose wisely. Shall we stand together? Say, Pastor Paul, are you done with your notes? No, I'm not. But I thought with that statement, choose wisely, is a good place to end. Have you chosen the Lord? Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord? And if you have chosen Him, how close are you to Him? Have you drifted? Do you need to get back to Him? You can do that here at the altar this morning. You can come and pray and ask the Lord to save your soul or to welcome you back. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now as we have this invitation time, we ask the Spirit to move now at this time and touch hearts, convicting of sin, convicting of the need of salvation. Lord, we ask that your name would be honored. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.